In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's easy to live inside our own heads. Our post-enlightenment world assumes the mind trumps the body. Knowledge is power. Content is king. It even goes so far as to say the mind creates the reality, and the body must follow along. The physical is unimportant. What really matters is what you think. And so, we assume that every problem is caused by someone being uneducated. How often do we hear that? And then every solution must be information. That little pocket device can access real-time information on a variety of platforms. We deem this good. But I wonder what the unintended consequences of digital communication are. Have they not driven us further into our own heads and less connected with reality? We can communicate at a moment, yet people are more lonely than ever before. We're not brains on a stick. The real stuff doesn't happen only inside our heads. Otherwise, we'd be perfectly content to see the grandkids on a phone. And Zoom meetings would forever be the norm for businesses, and sporting venues would remain empty. We'd be quite content to sit inside our house, order food, and to live our life by ourselves, sharing ideas, talking on the phone, and that would be enough. And yet sometimes we just need a hug or a pat on the back. Sadly, these post-enlightenment ideas have crept their way into the church. Everyone thinks the sermon is the most important part, and so many churches have gotten rid of the liturgy and lengthened the sermon. A few hymns, a few songs, a couple of prayers, but the sermon is what really matters. They sit through the whole thing because they are there to receive information, and they might as well bring a cup of coffee while they're at it. Kids are moved to a different location on campus so that they can receive the information at their age level, and the adults can get something out of this worship. So worship then becomes an individual experience, the information I can gather, rather than the gathering of the fellow believers to encounter the incarnate God. The sacraments are also deemed unimportant, because information is king. The sermon is not even the preaching of Christ crucified, because everyone already knows and believes that. But rather it's new, practical information on how I can navigate this world. Do you see that when we live inside of our heads, and when information is of the utmost importance, then the gospel is forgotten? Our quest for information has not stopped our bodies from slowing down, developing diseases, getting hurt, or dying. The wages of sin is not a problem fixed with information. The more information that we have does not necessarily guarantee more happiness. Who is happier? The adult who is cognizant of all that is going on around him? Or a child. Indeed, ignorance is bliss. And so God doesn't just give us information in the scriptures, but he took on flesh and blood. The word became flesh. He's not a thought conjured up by man who can't explain the natural events, but God is physical, God is concrete. He encountered man and his sin and stretched out his arms to save him. Yes, he taught of the kingdom of God, and he paired that teaching with his touch. His body brought joy to the shepherds and the magi, Simeon and Anna. His hands healed the sick and multiplied the loaves. His feet walked on water, and his strength pulled Peter out of those same waters. On this Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John get a little taste of Mount Sinai. Like Israel, they shake with fear. They are sinners in the presence of a holy God. But unlike Israel, God reaches out his hand to touch them and to still their fears. And when they look up, they see only Jesus, the God-man, the born of the Virgin, their Lord and their Savior. In the body of Christ, they find forgiveness, peace, comfort, and rest. His flesh is personally united to his eternal divinity, and so it is in his body that they find their God who has come to save. When Christ is transfigured, he doesn't peel back his flesh to expose his glory, but rather his glory shines through his flesh. For all that Christ does, he does through his human body. So his face shines. It is the face of God. And it is that face of God that is also beaten and spit upon. It is the back of God that is ripped open. It is the hands of God that are stretched out and pinned to a tree. He's a grotesque figure suspended from a tree, covered in blood, in excruciating pain, dying for you, buried for you. It's physical and it's concrete. And this is your God. He doesn't live in his own mind. But he lives in this world of pain, of suffering, of sin, of disease, and of death. For what his body does is your salvation. When you know the glory of his cross, then you will understand the glory of his transfiguration. For though he has ascended into heaven, what his body does is still your salvation. The Son of God does all things through his body. He never acts outside of it. And right now that Son of God confronts you. As he spoke with Moses and Elijah about his death and resurrection, so he continues that same conversation with you. As he touched the disciples, so he touches you in the holy sacraments. Where his body is, there we find salvation. If he were just present here among us with his divine nature, then we would have no salvation. But he's not somewhere up there. His body is present among us right now. The God who died and redeemed us. The divine service is no mental exercise. This is an encounter with the eternal God, a holy and righteous God, who shook Mount Sinai and dropped the three disciples to their knees. It's a bodily experience. Be careful. God is here. Do not enter into this sanctuary lightly, but neither be afraid. For he comes to speak and to touch your body and take away your sins. So what if you already know all that? Receive it again. Do not live inside your own mind, for the reality of the world around you, the pain, the suffering, disease, and death, tell you that you need to receive it again. For his victory is a physical, concrete victory that removes physical and concrete ailments. And so we worship God with our body. We stand, we sit, we kneel, we bow, we come forward, we walk back to our pew, we face the front and the back, we fold our hands and bow our heads, we teach our children to do the same. God forbid that we ever shuttle our children out as if they are only half members of this congregation, as if they can't get something out of this. Of such is the kingdom of God, Christ says. So we do all of these bodily exercises, because here the glory of the Lord shines with brilliance around you. And yet you are not afraid. For behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is here. And this is your reality. The reality of pain and suffering, disease and death gives way to the reality of his victory for you. For where two or three gather together, there is his body. There is his blood. The sermon encapsulates what St. Paul said. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Every teaching centers on that cross, and it leads us to the Holy Supper. This is the culmination of our worship, and it's an experience like none other. We touch God, we taste God, we receive God and all the blessings that he carries. This is no intellectual exercise. This is reality. God is for us. God is in us. A crucified and risen God permeates our mortal flesh, expunges sin, removes diseases, opens eyes, strengthens limbs, and reinvigorates our bodies. For the reality of the world is clear. So also the reality of our God present among us is clear. He comes so we might live in his transfigured glory forever without fear. Sadly, many do not have the opportunity to receive him weekly. But God has seen fit to give you this opportunity. He pulls you out of your own heads and toward himself at the holy altar. Our minds cannot create reality, but they can confess what is true and real and certain. We are sinners. We live in a fallen, abused world. But God has a body. God has died. And God is present among us to feed us his body, so we might live in his glory forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.